With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We'll have more on the Brianna Kupfer, killer getting arrested this morning.
Sean Laval Smith was picked up in Pasadena last night. His name came out after images of him from a surveillance video came out earlier in the day yesterday, and then they put out his name last night, and today they nabbed him sitting on a bus bench in Pasadena. Sheriff Villanueva is coming on at 5 o'clock, but we'll be talking about the story again next hour as well here on the John and Ken Show. This man has a lengthy arrest record. Looks like a lot of plea bargains, a lot of bail or no bail.
Dozens of arrests around the country.
Particularly in North and South Carolina. He was spending a lot of time there before he wandered out here to California.
Yeah.
Sometime in 2020, it's hard to say, but that's what it looks like.
And as far as Mike Bonin is concerned, we should have gotten him a house. We should have spent $700,000 on one of those Garcetti apartments. And then this wouldn't have happened.
Well, he probably has, although we don't know yet. Mental health issues may have been had treatment for mental health issues in the past. And we're not hearing yet that from any family members who have anything to say about him.
I think he's left family members long behind. Bonin.
31, not so young. All right, speaking of Mike Bonin, we got the crushing news last night, although there is a flip side to this, that the Bonin recall effort apparently did not succeed, according to the L.A. City Clerk, with enough valid signatures. Now, he's up for a primary vote in just a few months.
In June,
Because this is his election year for him, re-election year. So it's not like there's no time to oust him again in a few months, but the recall, which would have been voted on probably in maybe April, would have been nice.
Well, they needed 27,000 plus signatures. They collected over 39,000, but one third were thrown out. Over 13,000 signatures were tossed, and it left the recall movement 1,300 short. And the reason they were short, 2,800 plus were thrown out because they were duplicates. 1,500 plus were invalid, an invalid signature. 380 invalid registration, 3,500 not registered to vote, 1,300 were in the wrong district, 2,100 had the wrong address, and 1,500 had an invalid circulator affidavit, because the person collecting the signatures has to fill out paperwork. Katrina Schmidt here, and this is what they say.
This is from Ginny Pack, Division Manager, Election Division, City of Los Angeles, City Clerk's Office.
Katrina Schmidt is one of the leaders of the effort to recall Mike Bonin, and we're going to talk to her right now. Katrina, welcome to the show again. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What's your response to this?
I know. Well, obviously, we're devastated for everyone in our district, and obviously, we did not expect this result. I think, we knew this was going to be a nearly impossible feat. We knew we needed to turn in more than 100% of the signatures of votes that he got in the last election. We knew that most people don't even know who their council member is. And we organized this huge grassroots movement across the district. You know, we had a giant volunteer base going door to door. We hired a signature gathering company once we had momentum and had the funding to do so. And we thought we had enough signatures. We really did. So yesterday when I got the letter from the clerk with the breakdown of the signatures that were discarded, obviously we have a lot of questions, the categories for why they were discarded. Some of them aren't clear. We knew that we had some duplicates that were going to get thrown out. We had been deduping our signatures before we turned them in, and we decided to stop doing that at the end for specific reasons. So we knew those would get thrown out. The ones that say invalid address or invalid signature, obviously, we just want more information. So we are going to review all the discarded signatures. But in the meantime, this is the result, and that's what we have. And I think we just, you know, we're proud of what we did accomplish. We know that we have at least 26,000 people who want to remove Mike Vaughn. And from our end, we know that it's many more. I mean, some of these signatures that got discarded, they are real people. They are real constituents here that maybe filled out their voter registration incorrectly or not in time. We actually registered a lot of first-time voters to sign the petition, but they would have needed to follow up and whenever they received their registration in the mail and send in their signatures for their signature on the petition to count. So some of those might have been discarded. Some people didn't update their voter registration address, so those might be the invalid addresses. I mean, it could be the true result. Obviously, we're going to review what our options are, but in the meantime, I think Mike Bonin really gave us a gift with his response. His response was basically to insult everyone who signed this petition and who's behind this recall. He's been pushing this false narrative the entire time that we're obstructionists, that we're right-wing extremists, that we're all these things that he knows most people in LA will have a negative viewpoint about. But the fact is, that's not who we are, and that's not the average person who signed this. And now he's just insulted 26,000 people who read what he said, and they're going to be ready to go out and vote June 7th in the primary, and they're going to vote against him. So
all right.
That's the positive side of things.
Yeah, do you trust this analysis?
I personally have no reason to think that there's anything, you know, wrong going on, but I want to wait and see if there's any evidence of that. Like, I personally don't. I know some people
It's the LA city government, and quite a few people have been indicted recently in the government, so.
I know. There is a lot of corruption going on, so I guess that is, it's not, I don't think it's unreasonable to speculate. I just personally, you know, I was working with my contact as a city clerk this whole time, and my experience with that person was positive. I never directly worked with Holly Wolcott. And I don't know who all was working on this and what went on, but that's why we're going to go in person and look at all the signatures that were discarded.
When a duplicate is thrown out, do they throw out both signatures or just one?
Just one.
Right. Yeah. So there, with the 2,800 duplicates, the other half of that pair is kept and counted.
It should be, yes, correct.
And why would you turn in petitions, though, where you had the same person signing twice? Why would you even turn those in?
Well, some people would say, like, I don't remember if I signed, or, you know, we did have, like, I don't know, some people just didn't remember if they signed, or maybe they thought they could sign again or something. I don't know what they thought. Like, we would tell people it doesn't hurt if you sign again because they're going to throw out the duplicates, and we were removing them ourselves. When we were doing our own verification, I think also, you know, we had paid signature gatherers, and some people question that. There's a lot of people that don't have the context in the background. They think a paid signature gatherer, they can just collect as many signatures and get paid and collect duplicates. But we did not pay for duplicates for these paid signature gatherers. Like, that was already a consideration in that process. So maybe some of these people thought they would get paid if they just had another one. I don't know.
What's in
the other big category was not registered over 3,500. Was there any way you could look into that before you turned in the signatures to see that many people weren't even registered to vote?
Yeah. So during the process, we were, Nico and I, we were managing the whole, like, volunteer side of the signature gatherers, and we had about 200 volunteers helping with that, and just a few people who also were helping with the validation process on our end. And so we did. We had a copy of the county register of voters in CD 11, and we were reviewing and making sure we knew which ones were not registered to vote or not in our district and discarding those. That was, I think, about 15,000 of our signatures came from volunteers, and the rest of the 39,000 came from the paid signature gatherers. I believe we, in the end, had about 20 or 30 of those staff, and the company that managed that, they were verifying on their end. So, yeah,
well,
they should have been verifying it.
Like, how did 3,500 get through then that were not registered?
Well, in the very end, I mean, you guys have to understand, we're not like a huge team of paid people working on that.
No, I understand. I'm trying. I think the people listening want to know how it happens.
how it happened. Yeah. I mean, I can speculate. I think in the very end, we were working day and night on this. We were literally not sleeping for the last probably month, you know, finishing up the signature gathering phase and going through it. And we didn't get through the last probably several thousand that were turned in the last few days. We just didn't have time before we had to package everything up and bring it in. So some didn't get through, I'm sure, because we just didn't go through the last batch. Some probably because human error. And some, I think, we left in because the thing is, the database that we were verifying against was not the most updated voter database. It's not like the live voter registry that the clerk uses when they're verifying. So if we know someone is in district and they write their address, say their address is Pacific Palisades, and we can't find them in the voter registry, we don't want to cross that out because maybe in the most updated version they are registered to vote. So we would leave that in.
All right, Katrina, thanks for coming on. We appreciate the efforts, even if it's fallen short this time. But you're right, people will vote in June. There's a good chance of knocking them out.
You know what? That you got so much publicity, and there's tens of thousands of people aware of Bonin now, and that should bode well for the election in June, the primary.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to continue. We have this huge movement, you guys, and we're going to continue highlighting his total failed leadership. And it's just getting worse and worse by the day. So we're not done yet. Whatever happens, we look forward to the June primary for sure.
Hi, Katrina Schmidt, recall proponent, one of the organizers behind the effort to recall City Councilman Mike Bonin from office, but apparently not enough signatures were certified as valid to affect the recall. There's no shortage of people running. There's three or four already mentioned in this story. And Tracy Park, the attorney, has been on our show many times. So we'll be highlighting them leading up to the vote in June. More coming up.
The John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Sheriff Fina Waver coming on the show at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
He's going to talk about the Breonna Kupfer case and also the general year-end crime statistics for 2021 in L.A. County.
Then he's taking over KFI again Sunday night.
Yes.
All right. So we'll be talking
about him. He's about the only public official who makes any sense.
He's up for re-election this year. That's going to be wild. After 3:30, we'll talk about another ballot initiative, which is going to raise taxes. It's hard to believe this has nothing to do with health care. How would you like to see an increase in taxes to pay for electric vehicle charging stations around California? Now, that's what the idea is. We'll tell you who's behind it, who's getting taxed.
They got a $20 billion budget deficit, a budget surplus. What do they need extra taxes for?
To pay for the charging stations.
But that's what they can take out of the surplus.
You would think.
Well, yes.
We've been talking about the effort to recall Mike Bonin for the moment failing, but the big recall can come in June with a primary vote. If he doesn't finish in the top two, he's not going to be the city councilman in John's area. Again, Venice has been the site of many problems dealing with the homeless. Here's an updated story. There's a place. Are you familiar with Westminster Park?
Oh, that was overrun by homeless.
Well, there's something called the Encampment to Home Program, which cleared the park of more than 200 people living in a homeless encampment there. But the update is they're going to start offering homeless services at the park. According to Brian Averill, vice chair of the Venice Over Oceanfront Walk Committee, he's heard about what they plan to put out there is a decompression center. People who are decompressing from either mental breakdowns or heavy drug and alcohol use can go there for help.
What do you mean a decompression center? What is that? Is it something they're building on the park property?
It's going to be, yes, some sort of an outreach place where people can go.
Why are they building it on park property?
I don't think they even build it. I think it's just they just set up a tent to put people there to. And now the people are upset because they said it's going to just bring all the homeless right back again.
Well, everybody who's had a bad night and a bad drug trip or is feeling crazy. Do you know how much empty office space there is in the city? There's tons of empty office space. There's tons of empty strip malls. Why would you open this at a park?
Because they want to put it where the people are hanging out already.
That's stupid.
And homeless people love parks.
Put them on a shuttle and take them to some abandoned strip mall. I mean, I can't believe how many empty storefronts there are all over the city. Tons of empty storefronts. Go open your stupid decompression center there. And then what? And then after they come off their drug crash, then what do you do with them?
Apparently there's an elementary school right next to this park, too.
Oh, God almighty. See, is this a Bonin production?
Well, it is a Bonin production. And of course, as you know, Bonin is not using that kind of weak anti-camping law they passed last year to clean up any encampments in his district. He put no locations on the list to be voted on.
No, he's gonna make new ones. Hey, even after they cleaned up Westminster Park, he's going to bring it back. He's going to revive it with this idea.
Now, the story in CBS2 is that the city has not responded to multiple requests for information about what they're planning for the park, but this apparently is what neighbors and residents of Venice are hearing is going to happen. Oh, a decompression center will be set up in Westminster Park.
One thing I have noticed is they stopped doing public notification. There's no public hearing, town hall meeting, Zoom, nothing anymore. They just open these things up. And if anybody complains and say, you violated the law, good luck. They just do it now because they know everybody's going to scream at them. So it's F you. We're doing what we want. We're going to re-destroy the park.
All right. Coming up next, we'll tell you about a loopy ballot proposal. They're going to be going out to collect signatures soon. They want to raise big bucks to put up electric vehicle charging stations, more of them, around California. We'll tell you what the tax idea is. And we'll also tell you on a study of drivers around the country, what percentage are actually interested in electric vehicles? You might guess it's pretty low. Coming up.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
About an hour ago, the El Segundo Times did put up a web story on the arrest of this suspect in the killing of Brianna Kupfer. It does eventually at the bottom mention his arrest record.
Wow.
Both in North and South Carolina and here in Southern California.
Took him a long time.
Sean Smith, right, who was picked up. We understand that somebody walking by this bus stop in Pasadena is the one that tipped off police. To them, it looked like the suspect they were looking for because it's been all over the news. His pictures were released yesterday in video. So that's how they got the break in the case.
So if
Pasadena police responded, and guess what? He gave a different identity. So they had to bring out the fingerprint van to run through the DNA on his fingerprints from the arrest records that they had on him.
Well, they can do that right out of a van, huh?
Yeah, they brought it over, the little mobile crime unit, because he was denying he was Sean.
Well, yeah, he's gotten away with this all his life. I mean, he's been arrested dozens of times. He's got 14 outstanding warrants just in the Carolinas. And he has a couple here in California. So, you keep rolling along. Give him fake names. Just bolt. What's the bail on him?
I don't think there is one yet. Because they just picked him up this morning or 12 noon. So we're only 3.5 hours into this.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been set yet. And the whole thing is even had an arraignment.
We got Gascon under a microscope here.
Well, that's what we got to look for next.
Because Ray, maybe you can get one of the prosecutors who's willing to speak out, and we can find out what the charges ought to be, including
the
enhancements.
Well, that'd be John Hatami. He's already been speaking.
He's already been given interviews on this. Ray, so if you get John Hatami, and what would be the standard?
Because we don't have gang involvement that I know of, and he didn't use a gun.
But
right, supposedly he stabbed her to death.
I wonder, using a weapon of any kind, is that?
It might be. I don't know.
That could be an enhancement.
Lying in wait and that kind of thing. I don't know. Apparently, he was walking around the store for a while before he killed her. But
well, it seems like it would be a second degree murder to start with.
Yeah. All right, so we'll bring you all that stuff. And again, the sheriff is coming on at 5:05. A recent study reveals that, most Americans are really not interested in getting an electric car. It's just not happening. In fact, 70% of those surveyed are still interested in conventional gas-powered cars. In fact, when you dig into this survey, only 5% would like a fully electric vehicle. 5%.
5%. I don't think people understand that outside of wealthy sections of LA, how wildly unpopular electric cars are. They're not even considered. Like in the rest of the country, it's
not, oh, the rest of the country, they're scarce.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I do that as a joke sometimes. I see if I can spot the Teslas when I'm in different states.
Well, you just drive out of the western half of LA County, and they start getting pretty sparse.
Pretty scarce.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do. This is what's amazing. I have never seen a product so relentlessly hyped for like 30 years now, and the public is not biting for a lot of really good reasons, and those reasons haven't changed very much.
Well, it's affordability and the inconvenience of the charge system.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that there's nowhere to charge it, and then...
And if there is, it takes too long.
Yeah. I mean, it takes hours and hours and hours, and then you... Oh, my God. What was I reading the other day? Like in Virginia, right, with that bad snowstorm and people are trapped in their cars for 24 hours? You can't keep the car running because your electric power will run out. At least if you have a full tank of gas, you could keep that running for quite some time and keep yourself warm.
Yeah, I mean, that will run out too eventually. But.
Yeah, but I mean, you have a much longer period of time than with an electric car.
Plus, if you run a regular car, you know, you don't turn the gas on, but you actually just, you know, hit the alt switch.
Right.
That's going to drain your battery eventually, too, but so you can get heat and stuff.
Slowly.
And it's probably more slowly than an EV.
You know, and people worried about the range of these cars because everybody says, well, you know, the Tesla. Do you understand most people? That Tesla costs more than their annual income. I mean, the median household income in this country, I think, is around $60,000. That's in the middle, half more, half less. And most of the Teslas cost more than that.
Well, that brings us to this, a ballot measure. They're going to start collecting signatures soon. Oh, look at this. The Clean Cars and Clean Air Act. And it's going to raise billions of dollars for new electric vehicle incentives and new charging stations.
So these
proponents include Lyft. Well, that's suspicious. And the IBEW Electricians Union. Yeah, they want to build the charging stations.
Right.
It's something called the California Environmental Voters.
Yeah.
Well, they qualified both versions for signature gathering. There are two ideas: increase taxes on personal income over $2 million. Or increase taxes on corporate net income over $20 million. That's how they want to raise the money. So it's another tax.
Because it's socially acceptable to soak wealthy people even more and to soak corporations even more, even though they're paying a tremendous amount of tax already. And for what? Now, since the public is not interested in these electric vehicles, then we're going to have these things. They're going to be like archaeological relics someday.
Oh, the charging stations?
Charging stations, right.
Like they're the one that were built in the 80s and whatever that was?
Yeah, I mean, you see them sometimes in parking garages.
There's still little signs on some roads and highways, EV charging station, a little arrow.
And they're all rusted out and busted up.
I didn't go look, but I don't think there's much left there.
No, I see rotted out, busted up charging stations in old garages all the time. Some of them are updated. But it's like when you go to a shopping mall and they have 30 handicap spots and they're almost all empty. Well, now they'll have like 10 charging stations, all empty.
So they slipped another thing into this ballot measure. It's also about wildfire prevention.
Oh,
don't be surprised when they try to sell this over the airwaves that's what they use. And you might say, what? Well, they're going to use some of the money for wildfire prevention measures, but they're also making the argument that electric vehicles, because of the air pollution that comes from traditional cars, this will mitigate the growing threat of wildfires.
All right, because then the earth will not heat up as quickly.
It says here,
sure.
Transportation accounts for half of the state's greenhouse gas emissions, and 80% of it is smog, which is increasingly exacerbated by wildfires.
This is known as a scam. Okay, they have a cover story now that they're running the commercials showing California on fire
right,
because of climate change. And the leading cause of climate change is these gas-powered cars. We're going to be going all electric, so we need these charging stations. So let's soak these evil wealthy people and these evil corporations. You see what the
It's about big tax breaks for low-income people to buy an EV because, as you pointed out, it's too expensive for most people. So that's the other part of this. They want to give more incentives. Clean Cars and Clean Air Act is what they call it. All right, we got more coming up.
And they have a $20 billion surplus if they wanted to fund these now.
Very true.
John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Chanfeau. It's KFI. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, remember, we spent some time last year talking about those bills in Sacramento, the war we called it on single-family housing in your neighborhood, the idea that they could start building duplexes on single-family lots. Well, those bills were signed by right. Gavin Newsom.
It would allow the state to override local zoning rules. So suddenly, your neighborhood could turn into a series of duplexes or more.
Bigger, even apartment buildings of some size.
Yeah, without parking requirements, which means your street will get filled up with cars parked all over it.
Well, there has been a response. And boy, this year, because we have the governor up for election, we have many people in the state legislature and in Congress up for election, there's going to be a lot of ballot measures. And one of the ones that we think might get on the ballot, we hope does, we'll be talking about with the Redondo Beach Mayor, Bill Brand, after 4 o'clock. And that's to fight back against the war on single-family housing. That's to get the voters to weigh in on this and overwhelm the legislature's decisions.
I think, first of all, I think everybody has the right to keep their single-family neighborhood exactly that way. You should not be bullied by any outside government. You know, if you and your local government, your local representatives decide to change the zoning, that's one thing. But to have these Sacramento communists force multiple dwellings on a lot, that's completely outrageous.
All right, so we were just talking about electric vehicles. Survey revealed, and it was a nationwide survey, that most people right now are not interested in getting one. Only 5% want a full EV vehicle. And then a ballot measure, believe it or not, that might be in front of you in November to raise taxes for charging stations and to give people incentives to buy electric vehicles here in California. Now there's this story, which is really almost too silly to believe, from the Wall Street Journal. There are people out there that are driving these alternative vehicles, electric vehicles, or they run on natural gas. They're called hypermilers. And, boy, they really are goofy nerds. Someone who tries to coax as much mileage as possible from their fuel, whether it's gas or electric. I've never heard of a person like this. But in this case, you have to drive. This guy's got a Ford Mustang Mach-E electric car.
Oh, his name is classic. And a guy with a name like this would end up being a weirdo nerd. Fergal McGrath.
Fergal?
Doesn't that sound like some guy from the 1800s? Fergal McGrath. And he drives his electric car exactly at 40 miles an hour on the freeway. Because that's the sweet spot to get maximum mileage.
The car can actually hit 60 in just 3.5 seconds, but that's not what Fergal likes to do with his time. He wants to brag that he got more out of it.
He actually made the Guinness Book of World Records for the lowest energy consumption traveling the length of Great Britain.
Apparently, if you didn't know this, the sweet spot for an electric car is around or below 30 miles an hour. Which is pretty damn slow. So, you know, some people have gotten EVs and they're driving 70 on the freeway or wondering, wow, that really took a lot of charge. Well, that's one of the reasons. If you really want to maximize your efficiency, you got to drive somewhere around 30.
We have a local crackpot named Wayne Gertes, and sponsored by the Toyota Motor Corporation. He drove a Toyota Mirai?
It's a Mirai.
Mirai hydrogen fuel cell car. Run on electric power generated by onboard hydrogen. And he did this on the 405. He was trying to avoid complete stops on the 405. It's an efficiency killer. So when he saw a backup coming ahead, he would intentionally slow to a crawl as cars stacked up behind him. The trick was to avoid coming to a full stop. I'll intentionally slow down the 4 or 5 cars behind me so we all maintain momentum. They don't understand what's going on.
I would not understand what's going on. I mean, no. I doubt I've run into people on freeways, but I don't know if they're hypermilers.
No,
but I've seen this kind of behavior. I'm like, what are you doing?
He's gonna get run off the road. He also got a Guinness record.
This is asking for road rage. You're right.
No, that's inciting road rage, which ought to be a crime. You can't intentionally go very slowly so you could get more efficiency from your stupid hydrogen car.
He did a two-day, 845-mile journey, the longest distance by a hydrogen fuel cell car without refueling. Well, good for you.
And I got a Guinness record for that, too.
It's amazing. Another guy, a retired Swiss pilot, a hypermiler by the name of Felix. There's another good name for Felix Egolf.
See, all the guys with like weird names become these strange eccentrics.
He drove through the Alps in a Volkswagen electric car. It was sponsored by Volkswagen. And it says here, actually, electric cars can add energy back to the battery pack when they go downhill, a process known as regeneration.
Who cares?
So he would drive really slowly up mountain passes, and then he would quicken on the downhill so he could pick up the energy. Well,
going back to the first story, 95% of Americans not interested in electric cars, 95%, which means 95% really don't give a crap about global warming and all the other hoo-ha that goes on. They just want to start the car and get where they're going.
All right. When we come back, this might be a ballot measure we could get behind for the election in November. We told you last year about these bills, one of them SB 9, Senate Bill 9, signed by Gavin Newsom. This is the war on single-family housing, which would allow people on a single-family lot to put up like duplexes, more crowded housing. This overcame. It just absolutely overran local zoning ordinances. And the idea behind a ballot measure that we'll talk about with Redondo Beach Mayor Bill Brand is to overturn this. Coming up next.
Overturn this. John and Ken Show, Deborah Marquez News, KFI AM 640.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.